For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
So, Anthony, you took a bus ride up to Toronto, I understand.
We did, with a whole crew of WNED, WBFO audience members. It was great fun. We saw King Charles III.
Well, I'm jealous. And remind me again what that's about.
It's a future fantasy. Queen Elizabeth II has died. Charles has become king. It's a fantasy of how they all will behave. And we had a great time, including the opportunity to have lunch with Patrick Galligan.
Oh, of the Shaw.
Fun to be with 40 people at a luncheon where you didn't have to introduce Patrick Galligan. They were telling him his credits right and left. And I think he quite enjoyed that.
And Patrick Galligan up on the boards this summer at Shaw.
In Hound of the Baskervilles, and he'll be in Henry V.
And now, we talked about it last week, but it's here. Something Rotten. But it's much better than the title would indicate.
Well, it's a burlesque of Shakespeare history. Shakespeare is the London rock star of the 1590s, and there is a rival playwright named Nick Bottom who is jealous of everything he does. Full disclosure, on Broadway, I was not thrilled with it. On tour, it plays so much better. It's just very, very endearing, and I think it's the audience that has seen every musical referenced in this show, and it's a lot of it. There's a lot of show business parody. Rob McClure played Chaplin on Broadway. Brilliant. So funny as Nick Bottom. But also Josh Grassetti as his brother. Just hilarious. It's Adam Pascal from the original Rent as Shakespeare. They have lavished testosterone upon the chorus of this show. These men in laced-up leather pants sauntering down to the apron of the stage. Very, very funny. But I was intrigued. The woman playing Portia, she looks so familiar, and I realized it is Autumn Hurlburt. Anybody who watched that reality TV show about finding a replacement cast for Legally Blonde on Broadway, she was the more talented one who didn't win.
No kidding.
Which led me to believe that perhaps the contest was rigged. She's sensational, and yes, you will understand what they're saying. Real lowbrow comedy. Something Rotten.
Well, if it were an opera, it would be called Verismo, or Reality Opera. And that's The Night Alive, over at the Irish Classical. Some of my fellows in the audience were a little taken aback. It's pretty rough, this cast of characters. They really are down and out.
They are. It's the lower depths. People with dysfunctional lives who come together kind of hoping that their dysfunction will complement each other.
And it sort of does.
For a while. And then it comes undone, the menace from without. And I was very impressed with the ensemble. I was very impressed with Brian Kavanaugh's direction. I was even impressed with the set. Very clever putting that sink in the middle. It met so many needs of the play, which moved around that circular space so fluidly and perfectly.
And a sink with real running water, which is a Paul Bostaph signature.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Of Mice and Men, running water in a stream, this is in a sink. Yeah, And that elusive ending. People who demand closure will be frustrated by this play. You don't get it, but I'm not going to tell you in what way you don't get it, because it's rather ingenious. It's really an extraordinary play. It's my favorite now of the Macpherson plays.
The Night Alive, it's at the Irish Classical through March 25th. Now, for something completely different. Feel good, and it gets going right away. High energy, don't bother me, I can't cope. It's a nonstop musical entertainment over at the Paul Robeson.
This is a musical from 1972. It was the very first Broadway musical to be directed by an African-American woman, Vinette Carroll. From the opening moments, I thought Carlos Jones' choreography was inspired. And this is even before that fabulous sequence of one 1960s popular dance after another, from the Boogaloo to the Pony, the Mashed Potato, the Jerk, the Swim.
And they're all identified with a projection because they go on for 2 seconds and then we're off to another dance.
Right, right. On to the Madison. Let's go. That was great fun. And then ending it with that Judith Jameson, Catherine Dunham moment as they glide onto the stage with the white skirts. It was really impressive. Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope by Mickey Grant.
Now, Anthony, I've got to tell you, I was completely unprepared for Ben Butler over at the Cavanocchi. I thought it was going to be a somewhat dry historical drama, even though it says a comedic drama. Oh my gosh, is this funny?
Yeah.
Wow.
Though I will say, it did send me to the internet to look up. Is that true? It is such an absurd situation in a kind of a horrible way. An escaped slave presents himself at a Union fort and asks for asylum, and there's still a Fugitive Slave Act, but is Virginia still a state? Again, I've made it sound very heady and intellectual. It's not. Again, this is lowbrow comedy, but a fun riff on history. How do you sell that? Well, the great cast. I thought that they were uniformly wonderful, from John Fredo to Tom Laughlin as the Southern officer.
Who will not toast the Union.
I think that Peter's laugh tells you all you need to know.
There are a ton of openings that we can't get to right now, but if you go to the WBFO website, every week we put up a podcast of this broadcast with a complete listing. For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.